This conversation with Ella Olson took place at her home in Troy on October 1st, 1976. The interviewer was Sam Schrager.
Pretty rough for the family to get by in the early
years. Oh yeah,
years.
It was. And it was an old schoolhouse that stood on the that way from our place, but it was close to our place. And I started school there when I was 5 years old, and I didn't understand an English word. And I sat with, we had seats that the two kids sat in the same seat. You know, huh? Oh, no socks, your soap powder had tipped over in your bag. We sat two in each seat. And I didn't understand an English word, and Bertinel French, did you ever hear him?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, well, he was the teacher. And so this teacher said something to me there, and so she was supposed to tell me what he said. And she told me that he told me to go up on a stump, and the whole recess to go keep it going around and around on top of that stump, and I did it. And I didn't know, I had to do what she told me because I couldn't know what he said. And so we had 3 months of school in the fall and three in the spring. And it was too much snow in the winter to get there, so there was no way to go. Then my dad donated an acre of land on the corner up this way and for this new schoolhouse. He got a dollar for it because, you know, he had to get a dollar. But he donated that land, and they built a nice schoolhouse there. Mm-hmm. And there's where we went then until they consolidated here in Troy. They had the eighth grades. And there was as many as 44 kids in that school and one teacher in all the grades.
Did most of the kids have to learn English in school?
We had to learn English. And as soon as we stepped out the door, every one of us talked Swede. And there was a family of Germans that lived up there. And those kids learned to talk Swede as good as any of the rest of us, because that's all they heard. and then the teacher was trying to get us to quit this Swede outside, you know, because we wasn't learning. He wanted us to talk English. And we just wouldn't do it. We just talked Swede. Make a difference what the teacher said. We was talking Swede outside. And all we learned English was right inside of the schoolhouse then, what we were learning there. And they had the eighth grades, all eighth grades there. And there was a boy, two boys that came from Sweden, and they were quite old. And they went to school there to learn to talk English. And they stayed with Derek Nelson, and that's on this side of Emil Pearson's place. Mm-hmm. And so they went to school, and Pleasant Hill was just north from, well, just north, it was on our land there. There we all went to school.
Did you find that you learned very much in that school with all the kids and what?
Well, I learned everything I knew, I guess. Yeah. Then we were so bashful, we went to town. We had to go to town to take our eighth grade examinations to the school here. And we were scared to death coming from out there, you know, never hardly see any other people but just ourselves there. And we'd forget everything we knew, and we flunked the eighth grade test. And then we had to go another year and take it over again. But I finally made the eighth grade.
You forgot because it was so upsetting to come
to
Troy.
And we saw all these here town kids, you know, and everything, it was so different that we just forgot everything we knew. Oh, we had an awful time.
How often did you get to go to Troy to see this, to do things in
there? Well, it was, they'd write down on a slip of paper, and Louis Walner had a store down here, and he had everything in there, groceries and everything. And I'd hand him that slip of paper, and I would never even look up. And he'd fill the order and give it to me, and out the door I'd go as fast as I could. And we walked down, but there was, Nora was down there in the corner on that flat. And there was the post office and the grocery store, and it was blacksmith shop and the barber shop and the saloon and the saloon keeper's house, and that's all that's left. There's the saloon keeper's house, but that's remodeled. And we went down there every other day to get the mail. And we lived on top of the hill. And I started to run up on top of that hill, and I'd run clear down to the store because it was all downhill. But going back, it was all uphill. And I made that trip before time to go to school in the morning. Hmm. And then when we went to town, we rode my dad hauled ties or wood or something, and we'd ride on the load to town. And when he went and unloaded, we were supposed to go in the store and get the groceries, whatever they had written down, and be ready when he come back, because he made two trips a day. And so we made it then that way. And we were so bashful, and the whole bunch, all the kids up there were bashful. Didn't dare to talk. Oh, and then he'd buy a little bit crackers and cheese, and that was in place of candy or something. That's what we riding home.
Who would eat?
Huh?
To eat,
yeah. We didn't have too much at home. It's just what they raised in the garden, you know, and spuds. Then they'd kill, butcher an animal in the fall, and a pig. And so we had plenty of meat and that. We had plenty. And so we lived on what we had out there.
Did the town kids act like they knew more?
Oh, yes.
Did they acted like they were kind of superior?
We thought they did. And, oh, yes. Of course, they were home, you know. And we were strangers. And we thought, they were dressed so much nicer, and they were so much smarter, and they were so much forward, you know, and everything, and they were knew where everything was. We were just some little green Swedes from the Pleasant Hill. Anna Marie taught school up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But of course, those kids.
I was out of school by that time.
After you finished the eighth grade, what did you do then?
Well, I went 1 year to high school in Moscow, and then I thought, oh, how foolish to go there. So I went to Spokane and got me a job to work, housework. And then I came home at Christmas time, and then in the spring they come and wanted me to go out into the camps to cook. And me and another girl, our neighbor girl, we went out there in the woods up at White Pine, cooked at the camp, logging camp. And then we moved on to the new White Pine. That's the old White Pine. And we moved on to new White Pine, and there was a cookhouse there for the logging crew and one for the sawmill crew, because there was a sawmill there. And they had two cooks in the sawmill cookhouse, and then up in the other one, we were two girls there. So then that winter went, and then in the spring, I went to Spokane again and worked. And then I got word that they wanted me to come down here and to go out up to the mill and take over the head cook there. So I come down here, and then my sister was with me then, so we cooked at the sawmill. And then we started in, and they had a thrashing machine, and they had a cookhouse with the thrashing machine then. And it was probably 18 to 30 men out to cook. And we went down to Genesee country and on the reservation, and we was down there cooking them for the thrashing crew. And then it was fall again, and then it was go back to the camps. And then the next year was 1920. Now then the war came, 1918. And my husband and I, we was going together for about 2 years before the war. And then he was gone and went to that and come back. And he came back in January 1919, he came back. So we kept going together, and then in 1920, and we was in the cook wagon at the sawmills. And in 1920, I went out in the cook wagon again. And I got in 50 days, because it rained. And then the bundles were out in the fields, and it rained, and by the time they had turned those bundles and got them dry in the sun then for to do 3 days, then it was ready to start thrashing, then it started to rain again. And he didn't want to lay us off, so he just kept us there. And in that cookhouse, you know what that cookhouse looked like? You know what a cookhouse looked like?
I've seen some old photos that had cookhouse in them.
They have little square tables. It was four on each side.
I never seen the inside.
Wide. No. It was an aisle in the middle, about that wide.
That
wide. And they come in, and the cookhouse stood in the field, and it rained, and they come in, and you can imagine the mud that come in. And we had a shovel there. We had to shovel out that mud before we could do anything, clean the floor, before we could start to work.
It was really tight, crowded inside that cookhouse then.
Oh, yeah. And then at night, they'd thresh till dark, and then they'd come and eat their supper, and we'd clean up the dishes and get things ready for morning, and then we'd have to clean out the floor and get our bedding from under the house and make the bed on the floor. And then about 4 o'clock in the morning, we'd have to get up and roll that bed up and start in again.
How much sleep did you get a night?
Well, it could be from 9 o'clock or 9:30 to 4. I don't know. I don't think we needed much sleep the way it looked.
Was that hard? Was that hard work?
Oh yeah. We was washing dishes there, and we baked all our bread, all our cookies, and they had lunch in the afternoon. Baked everything. And they'd come in right after breakfast, probably say, "We're going to move before dinner." And then I'd hurry and set bread, because when we was moving, it kept shaking, you know, and that bread just raced. You could just see it race. And then we took our peeling. We peeled our spuds and peeled everything that we were going to have. We did that while we were moving. So then when we got to the place, well, then it was to hurry and fix, because then it was probably time they wanted to have dinner pretty quick. And it was just a rush. And then in the afternoon, we had to have fresh cake or something baked and have coffee and send out to them in the afternoon. And then it was to have supper at night. See, it was hard work. I don't see how we could do it.
Was it rushing all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Did you
same thing, day after day.
Did you have time to sit down, relax,
not
drink
much.
Some coffee and
we didn't have
talk.
Much time. It was just to keep it going. That was at 1920. And they didn't finish threshing because it was mud and rain. They couldn't finish.
When it rained, did they just leave the cookhouse where it was?
Yeah,
and
they left it
there,
and some of the men stayed. And they left the cookhouse, and they didn't want to lay us off because he was scared he'd lose us, that we'd go and get another job someplace. So he just kept us and paid us, and we were there cooking for the ones that stayed there. And I don't see how we could do it myself. No, I couldn't.
Did you serve all the men in one shift, or did
no?
They
they'd come, and probably these four at this table would probably be done, and then they'd go. Well, then we set out clean plates stuff for this and other ones that come in a little later, and then it got so that we had to feed the ones that hauled the grain to town, and we wasn't supposed to do that, but they fixed it so that we did, and those came any time. But we had to see that we had something for them to eat. Oh, that it was hard. Well, so then in 1920 is when I got married, after this harvest, not 13th of November. And they finished threshing there. They sent us home in October. And then they finished threshing in November because it straightened up pretty good. And the grain was black. The shocks and everything was black. But they finished it, and then after that harvest, we got married the 13th of November.
What did your husband do at that time? Was he working in the...
He was working in the woods, in the camps, and the logging, and all that time. We went together for about 4 years, five years. We didn't have time to get married. It was too much work.
Really? Is that why it took so long to get married, because there was too much work?
Yeah, I didn't have time. I wanted to get some more of that cooking done and some more money, and then we only got $1 a day.
For the cooking?
Yeah. And that last year, when we had all those 50 days, we got $1.50.
Did you get to save all the money that you earned, or did you have to...
We sent it home. That's how that barn was built. We gave... Dad had to have a new barn, and so we cooked and worked, my sister and I then, and sent the money up and paid for all the stuff that they built the barn out. So we didn't get any of it.
That doesn't sound quite fair to me.
No, but that's the way it was. Oh.
How did you feel about it then? As a girl, did it bother you that,
no,
that all the money was going?
No, we just figured that we should have that barn paid for and that we wanted to have that done, help him to get that barn paid. Didn't bother us. We was just going to work.
How many kids in the family there?
We were 9 kids. Now it's the oldest.
Oh, that's right.
And there's only 3 of us left. All 5 boys are dead. 1 sister.
Did your mother have to work very hard?
Oh, yeah.
She
went out to work when she was real young. And they even sent her to school in Moscow. She worked for those places, housework there. And she was real young. She was only 19 when she got married, and then she had worked out for many years. And with her, now they had to walk clear from this country here and up to Moscow. There was no Troy here. And they walked to Moscow, and her dad would be there the day that he knew that she had a payday and get the check. And they were a big family, and they were homesteading up in the country here. And I call it hard times, but then when depression came, well, I thought that was worse.
your mother was this working she was doing, this was after she stopped going to school in Moscow, or was she going to school?
She didn't go to school, only those people where she worked. She didn't get any schooling.
I see.
But they sent her to school so that she'd learn a little, and then she'd work her way through that way. And she didn't have much schooling. And my dad, I don't know if he had any schooling at all. My husband in Minnesota, he was born in Minnesota. And there they had the, instead of the fourth grade or something, they had fourth reader. And he went as far as the fourth reader. And he thought then, after he seen how our kids was, he thought that was pretty near as far as the seventh and eighth grade. But they called it fourth reader, and that's as far as he was. So they didn't have much schooling.
Well, for raising a family so big, did that mean that your mother would have to spend all her time taking care of the kids and the house, or did she do other work too?
Oh, she had to do outside work. She had to be there and help with the grain and shocking and hay and stacking hay, grain, and she had to work outside and help. And I know when he plowed it, and then I had to harrow it afterwards, and I walked behind that harrow till I had great big blisters on my feet.
Must be the past. Okay.
You didn't you have a jacket at all?
No.
Oh.
Cold weather doesn't bother me.
It might rain.
I'm not too sensitive against this weather. Okay. Well,
goodbye.
you followed behind with the.
Yeah, walked and harrowed the whole fields there, and then he seeded it, and then in the spring, in the summer, when it was ripe, by then he'd cut it, and then I had to rake it. See, it was me, and then we were 2 more girls, and then they got a boy after that, so I was the only one that could help with anything.
So you did some pretty heavy work yourself then, as
yeah,
you were
I worked,
growing up.
I can say I worked like a man.
Was it hard, as a girl, did it exhaust you doing work like that? Did it tire you out?
Oh yeah, we was pretty tired, but we still wanted to go out on Saturday night. And if we didn't have everything done like it was supposed to be, we couldn't go out. And we worked so much harder so that we'd have everything done so we could go out on Saturday night. And they used to have dances then in the Pleasant Hill Schoolhouse or the White Pine Schoolhouse, and that's where we wanted to go. So we were still able to go out and dance in that Saturday night come.
What were the dances like then?
Oh, we'd dance polkas and square dances and schottisches and waltzes and two-steps and...
Did you go there with your fiancé, with your
husband? No, he wasn't around yet then. This is before. We just walked up there and had a good time with everybody.
Just local kids?
Yeah.
Were the
well, they
there?
Come in from other places. It was packed full there.
Did the were the older folks there too? The parents?
Oh,
there
they
too?
Could go if they wanted to. Yeah.
Did they serve a lunch too?
No.
Just the dancing.
No, we just danced till morning. And
till morning. Till Sunday morning.
Yeah, and when at our wedding, I was married in our house, in that house there. And after the wedding, we had asked if we could. Go to the schoolhouse to have the dancing and the party. And they said we could. And we had, they cooked coffee in the boiler. And they just kept drinking coffee all night long, those I stayed at the house. And then we went up there to the schoolhouse, and it was 5 o'clock in the morning when we left, got done. They got done to go home. And then we went home and changed our clothes. And we had promised that we would scrub and clean that schoolhouse so it was ready for school on Monday morning. And this was 5 o'clock Sunday morning. We had to get water hot and get it hauled up there and clean that schoolhouse. So nobody could do what we did now in this time and age.
So you and your husband went up there just to
yeah,
do you, or did your friends go too?
No, my some of the kids from home went with us and helped to move benches and stuff. So it was just from the house there, because then everybody had gone home.
So that was for your wedding then?
That was our
wedding. You had an all-night dance
afterwards?
Yes,
we had an all-night
dance.
Oh,
that sounds great.
And all days, and the day after to be all scrubbing.
Now,
cleaning.
I gotta ask you about this. These dances you went to up there on a Saturday night would usually go until Sunday morning? It was often they would go, say, all night long?
Oh, yeah, they went all night long.
That sounds great, but I'm surprised people could take it and then have anything to do left that they could do on Sunday.
And the trouble when now White Pine Schoolhouse was quite a ways off. And when I cooked down up at White Pine Mill, that was pretty far to walk. But we walked over to that schoolhouse. And we just got back up to the camp in time to fix breakfast. We had a lot of fun.
What about, did many people go to church on Sunday?
Yes, we went to church and Sunday school every Sunday.
After staying up all night the night
oh,
before?
Oh yeah, we went. We went and then we didn't go to bed. We didn't go to bed Sunday. We didn't go to bed till Sunday evening when we went to bed. We were supposed to go to bed. We didn't go and sleep like they do now. Because I know if they're up now till 12 and 1 o'clock, well, they have to sleep the whole next day. Pretty near. Half a day, anyway.
Did you go to the church at Nora?
Yeah, and that is the Lions Hall here now. It was the Nora Church.
That was the what was the name of the church?
It was a congregational or the Swedish Mission Church.
Do you have any idea what happened to the church records?
Mm-mm. I don't have any idea. But the church is this Lions Hall. And that church was, I was born in 1897. And on the 18th of November. And the first meeting in that church was on Thanksgiving, just 1 week. I was born on a Thursday, and the next Thursday was Thanksgiving. And that was the first meeting held in that church. It was that new then. So it was built in 1897. And then they sold it. They could never leave anything stand still. The schoolhouse was torn down. The church was sold here to be the Lions Hall. And so, but it's still alive anyway, so it's a church, the part of it there.
What do you remember the church services as being like?
All Swede. It's all in Swedish. Sunday school and the preaching and everything was Swedish.
What kind of services would the preacher preach? What kind
well,
of
well, what's in the Bible? Same thing as in the English Bible, but it was in Swede. Yeah, he preached.
And Sunday school?
He preached. We had Sunday school at 10 o'clock, and then he preached at the meeting at 11. And then in the evening, they had meeting. And I went to confirmation. I was confirmed in that church. Then we went to confirmation on Saturday forenoon, studied then. So...
Who taught the Sunday school?
Oh, it was Sanquist, and Emil Persson was married to a Sanquist girl, and Alfred Johnson's, and Ole Bowman, and all those were
teachers.
Yeah. All in Swedish. It was a lot of fun, though. That's quite a while ago.
I've heard that the old timers, those from the old country, that the men were used to telling the women what to do, and they were used to obeying.
Well, that's still further back. That's before my time, and it wasn't that way after when my dad and mother was married or in that. That's before. In the way before that.
So with your parents, they sort of shared...
Yeah.
They made decisions together?
Yeah. So they... they more like it is now. Yeah. But a long, long time before their time was this way. They had a man was the head.
Who told the kids what to do? Your mother or father?
Well, my mother told us and did what she could, and if we didn't do what that was, she tattled to Dad, and then we got a good licking. So, so we thought we better do what she tells us, so she'll tattle to tell him. And he wouldn't spare the rod.
Did he treat the girls differently than the boys? Was it easier on the girls?
Well, I don't know. Of course, they had three girls first, and then they got two boys. And of course, then when they were so tickled to have those boys, that they got more spoiled than us girls did, and made over. And then us girls was that much older then that we could work and do some things where those boys were just pets, pests. As I know my oldest brother. Whenever they went to town, I had a rope ready, and we had a stove that had legs on it, a square stove, and it had legs on it. And when they left, and as soon as they went to town, and I was home there with the kids, I had took that rope and I tied him to that leg on the stove there. And he was tied till I seen them come home, and then I let him loose, because he was so mean. He'd hit us and he'd. I just couldn't have him loose. One time I didn't get him, and it was a pantry, that little window on the side there, that was a pantry. And we got in there and we locked ourselves in, and we didn't dare to go out because he had an axe and he was going to kill us. And he had a butcher knife and everything, so we was locked in that pantry till they pretty near come home. And so I just learned that I'm going to find a rope, and I did find a rope. And I hid that rope and just kept it, and nobody knew where that rope was but me. And as soon as they left, they wasn't more than out by the gate till I had him and tied him. And I had him tied to that stove till they got home.
You did that more than once.
Oh, all the time, every time they went. Wherever they went, I did that, because we couldn't let him go loose.
They let you do it.
They didn't know it.
Didn't he tell?
No, sir. We told him if he does, well, we're going to just beat him to death. And he never told.
Didn't
dare to do that, because I could handle him pretty good.
Why was he like that, do you think?
I don't know. He was just going to show that he could take over and be boss. And
run the house?
He wasn't going to take orders from any of us girls. He was going to run it.
How much older were you than he?
5 years. And I was 7 years older than our next brother. So there was the two boys.
When did he start getting over that?
Well, I don't know. He was quite big. He was in school and got over it more and more. So he got better. So, but this was when he was really ornery,
He's spoiled.
4 or 5 years old. He was awful.
Uh-huh. Spoiled.
Yeah, they spoiled him because they had the boys. And then we had us three girls, you know, and when they got a boy, why, they were pretty tickled. And he got too spoiled.
I heard that they often liked to have boys.
Yeah, they wanted boys.
Why was that?
I don't know.
I heard because they worked in the fields better, and they worked harder on farms.
Probably they thought it was cheaper to raise them, and I don't know what.
I don't know that it would have been
cheaper.
But
there was 5 boys, and we were 4 girls, and the one girl died, and then and now all 5 boys are dead. This one that was so ornery, when him and his wife went out fishing up past Beauville, and they had a camper. They lived in Lewiston, and they had a camper, and they went up there, and got there in the afternoon, and they had drank some coffee in there in their camper, and went out and got the limit of fish, and then he said he wasn't feeling very good, so he says, I think we better probably go home. And when they got up to the camper, he said, yeah, you'll have to drive. He said, I'm getting worse. He said, I'm getting awful sick. And so they got ready then to turn around. Before they got into Beauville, he said, I feel lots better now. And he says, but we'll keep on going home. And then in Beauville, when she got into Beauville, she stopped, and then he was dead. So it went that fast. Yeah.
Well, because you were the oldest girl, did you help your mother a lot in raising the other kids?
Yeah, we had and washing. We had to have a tub and a washboard and wash the clothes that way and bake bread and learned that. I don't think I was more than 5 years old when I started to bake the bread.
Really?
Because I could. And when they went to town, and they left me there with the kids, and they show me on the clock when that little hand would come over to that. They'd be gone 8 hours. And when the little hand got on that number there, then they'd be coming home. And I'd clean the house, and I'd do all I could. And we'd go down the canyon. It was a little canyon below there, and we'd play in the playhouse. Then we'd watch that clock because we knew they were going to come home then. So we had everything in order when they got home.
Well, for raising you and teaching you what to do and what not to do, how did they do that? I mean, did they tell you how you should behave? And
oh yeah, they said we couldn't go no place unless we behaved and. They said they know that they don't know that if what we do. And we behaved pretty good. Well, all the kids up there were good. There wasn't any bad kids. There was no dope and no drinking or nothing. It was just to have a good time. That was all. Now if they'd have a dance at that schoolhouse now, if that schoolhouse was there, I bet there wouldn't be one kid up there, or young people there. They wouldn't go to a place like that. We didn't have no cars. It was just to go. And if the boys from town come out, they had a livery barns here. They had 2 livery barns here. So they had horses. They could rent the horses and the buggy. And they'd come and take us out. And then as far as we could go was up to Deary. About as far as they could ride.
What about being honest? Did they put a lot of stress on that, your parents, the kids, to be honest?
Oh, yeah. We had to be honest. We had to know everything where we couldn't cheat anything. We couldn't swipe a penny or anything because they'd know just exactly what we should have, what we should bring back from the store or something. We were made honest. So we were all brought up to be honest.
Was all this work hard on some of the women or some of the girls?
Oh, it must have been. It must have been awful hard to be parents in them days.
Do you think it was hard on your mother to do?
I think, it must have been. And she was little. I don't think she ever weighed over 97 pounds.
Really?
A real small woman.
And then she did all that work.
Yeah, yeah. You can see it. She's on the picture there. She's just a little woman. And she lived to be almost 99. My dad was only 54 when he died.
Oh.
And I think what he died was from cancer, and they didn't know what it was. They didn't know what anything was in them days that long ago. And he was paralyzed clear from here down to his legs, and they couldn't even touch the bed. He hollered. And he died. I think he had cancer. What I think was it started with this prostate gland, and they didn't know it. Doctors didn't know it. And then it turned to cancer. That's what I think he died from, because they never said what he died from. Doctors didn't know.
When you went up to Spokane, is that where you heard there was the best place to work for a young woman to get a job? Was that why you went up there?
Well, we heard that that there was housework and people wanted girls to work. And that when we went to Spokane, it was the neighbor girl across the road, and I went. And we'd never been to Spokane. We'd never been to any big town. And then it was an Adventist minister that lived out there. And his wife knew a girl in Spokane. She lived in the basement of the Adventist church in Spokane. And she knew her, and she said she's going to write to that girl and have her carry a magazine and meet us at the depot. And we were supposed to carry the same magazine. So when we got off the train, we had that magazine, and she met us, and we went with her home. And then we got a hold of a newspaper and read in there where we should go and look for work. And we went and found those places. She helped us so we could know where to go. So we got work, and we worked clear to Christmas then.
Tell me, who did you work, what kind of people did you work for? Were they people who were pretty well-to-do?
Oh, yeah. And they always told us we should, when we go to Spokane to work, we should always go where there was a lot of kids in the family, because then if it was an old couple or just a couple, you know, they'd expect more from the girls that worked. But if there's kids there, you know how kids could drag out things all the time. So in the place where I got was four kids, and the one that the other girl got was three kids. And we made it fine.
Why was it better to have, what would the kids do? The kids would help you work?
No, if we didn't make everything perfect, well then the kids would drag out stuff, you know how kids are.
Oh,
a lot of, otherwise if they'd have been just a couple or that, well, they had expected everything to be just perfect, you know. So we got along just fine.
Did the people still expect a lot of you, the people you worked for?
Well, I don't know. We kept their house clean and cooked for them and washed the dishes. And
were they rich?
Oh, yeah, they were well-to-do people. And they took care of their own kids. They had a woman that took care of kids, a nurse, I guess they called them. I didn't know what it was then. But I guess that's what they called them, somebody to take care of the kids. And they sent all the washing out. And so I didn't have to do any washing, but it was and she'd tell me what to fix for the meals, you know. And so it wasn't too bad. And then we'd have one afternoon off, and then Sundays off. A Sunday afternoon off, and one afternoon during the week to go to town, you know. So we got out, and then we could go out after 9 o'clock in the evening. We would be through with all our work at 9, and then if we wanted to go to a dance or something downtown, we could go.
Was this friend of yours nearby?
Well, we met downtown on Riverside, and she'd take a different bus and I'd have a different bus, but we'd meet there. So whoever got there first just waited until the other bus come, and we...
Where would you go to dance?
Oh, we went to Odin Hall. That's a Swedish hall.
What's the name?
Odin, O-D-I-N Hall. And that was a Swedish hall, and we went there. And so that's where we went to the dances.
Did they treat you very well, the people at the house? They didn't treat you like just a maid? Or
no, they were real nice.
Did you get to eat with the family? Did you eat?
No, they ate in the dining room, but I wouldn't have wanted to eat in there anyway. But they ate in the dining room, and I'd eat in the kitchen. So I learned to cook, and then I got the job to cook at the camps
you
and in the meals.
You didn't know how to cook before you went up there?
Oh, I knew. Yeah, I learned at home. So I knew how to, so I could get along all right. But I had all my cookbooks with me, and I read them and cooked it. Whatever they wanted, I fixed it.
What do you think of the city of Spokane compared to country places like here?
We thought it was so big that we didn't, and Spokane wasn't very big then, as it is now. All we thought it was so big, and we was really out.
Where did you meet your husband?
Well, up at the camps.
When you were cooking?
When I was cooking, yeah. He was at Old White Pine, and the boys kind of come and hung around the cookhouse a little bit, and they come in and dry dishes for us. And one thing, another one, sometime, another one, another time. And you can always take a better liking to one than you can to another, you know. And then he'd come in there and he'd get the dish towel and dry the dishes. And he'd come in and sit around and that. And pretty soon, he had another girl up at Deary when the first. So this man that run the camp and this girl that I've been with all the time across the road there, we were cooking there. And he was kind of going with her. And so he asked me if I wanted, one of the other boys in the camp there to go with him. We were going to go down to the Nora Church. He was going to drive with the hack and the horses down to Nora Church. And he wanted to know if I wanted to know. I said I didn't want any of them to go. And when we got on the road.
You wanted to know if what?
He wanted to know if I wanted one of the other boys to go with. And I said, no, I didn't want any of them other boys to go. And my husband was already, he had a girlfriend in Deary, so he was up there. He'd go up there. And when we was driving from the camp up to there, we met him on the road. So this Joe asked me, he said, should we pick him up? And I said, yeah. So we picked him up, and he went with us to church, and then he quit going to Deary, and he started coming to see me, I guess. So that's the way it started.
So it just what happened that you met him on the road?
Yeah, we just met. He come walking from, he'd been to Deary, and he come walking back to the camp, and we were going, driving out, and we met him there.
And then you went to church?
And then we got in, and we went to church. So that's how it started, kind of, when we went together.
You think you kind of liked each other from when you first
met? I guess so.
Tell me what it was like in the camp, I've heard some about the cooking in threshing crews before, but I've never heard about cooking for in these lumber camps, yeah.
Oh, it was just like in the house. They had a dining room and a kitchen, and the dining room, they had a long table, and we'd set them tables, and we'd fix the meals, the fixed roasts and whatever meat we got a hold of. They butchered right up there and hung it up, and we'd have to go out there and wag it off ourselves. And I got scars all over where I chopped the knife into my hand. I pretty near chopped that finger off one time.
Just cutting slabs off the meat?
Yeah, because I'd missed the meat was frozen part of the time, and they slip. And it got like, I was all burnt up. I got scars all over from that. And we'd whack off, if we were going to have steak, what was to cut off so we could get steak. Wanted a roast, we'd have to go out there and saw off and get some roast. And and then we just cooked great big kettles of spuds and vegetables. And we baked bread and everything went just just kept the going.
What were the conditions like there for the, you know, as a place to live and work? I've heard that some of the logging camps were pretty rough in those days, as far as, you know.
These were all just local people, and it wasn't any rough.
It was clean. It
just like being home, and everybody was clean, and they cleaned the bunkhouses, and everything was clean. And we'd scrub the kitchen floor, the dining room floor, and the kitchen floor, and it was clean. I don't know. I don't remember that we were ever awfully tired.
So the work wasn't too hard.
It couldn't have been, or we were terrible strong. I don't know. We just kept on going.
Were there men around those, some men around there that the girls didn't trust?
No, I don't know. I trusted everybody that was there. I was there alone down at Standard Mill. I was alone a whole summer with a bunch of them there. And in the evening, they'd sit down by the mill and play cards. And I'd go down there and I'd sit there with them. And then one time I got up and I stepped on something, a roller. It started going. And I was just ready to roll under the mill when one of the boys caught my leg and so I didn't go down. Oh, I didn't know that thing was going to go when I stepped on it. And another time I went out on the pond, those boys walked on them logs and they never moved. And I thought, well, I don't see any reason why I can't do it. So one Sunday morning, I went out there on the pond and I was going to walk on those logs like they did. And the logs started to going, you know, and you jump on another one and that'll keep it going. Then, you know, they're going. And they come running from the bunkhouse there and got me out of that mess. But I thought I could walk them logs just as good as any of those could. But they laid still for them, but when I got on them, they started rolling. You know, a log, I don't know, I didn't keep that. I should have balanced them some way, I guess, and didn't know it.
Well, I had heard that, for instance, like at the mill in Nora, there was quite a bit of drinking that the men did in the early days there.
Well, that
the lumberjack, the guys that were loggers there.
Yeah, but they went out on Saturday night to town, and that if they did, they drank when they were out, but they didn't have any drinking there, much. They didn't have any drinking there where I was, and I was alone with those about six men down there in Standard Mill one whole summer. And I wasn't scared of any of them. I trusted all of them. They were just real good all.
How many, did you and a friend cook at the, let's say, how many cooks for the crew at the White Pine sawmill there?
Oh, that was about 17, I think.
17 men and one.
And then the logging crew was, well, they must have been 10 or 12.
And how many cooks?
Well, there was two cooks for the sawmill and two for the logging camp. So, it was work, but poor pay. But everything was cheap then.
At that time, all the money that you were making in Spokane and here too went to your folks?
Not what I made in Spokane. That was, I spent there for clothes and stuff there. They didn't get any of that. But what we worked for at the mills and the camps there, we sent that all home to pay for them. We bought a piano. That was the beginning. We went sent in the catalog for a piano, and then we had to pay that. So that, and then they built the barn, and then we started paying on the barn.
Did you use the piano a lot?
Oh, well, I didn't. The kids at home did. The boys played. My brothers could pick up any instrument there was to play on. And they could play on the comb, they could play the mouth harp and the comb and the accordion and guitar and violin and piano, anything. They just sit down and just play. And there isn't a one of the grandchildren. Well, there's one of the grandchildren. That's of the younger kids, their kids, that is that way. And he plays anything. Just pick up anything and just play anything.
You know, you said that in Moscow you went to school there for a year and then decided that. What did you think there? Why wasn't it worth your while to go to school?
Well, I worked for my room and board.
Oh, you had to work.
And I had to work, and then I had to do my studying, because I had to know my work from school, and I just thought that I'm not going to go there no more. So I just couldn't see that it would pay.
Why wasn't it worth it? Because it was just too much work for
too much work, and I had to work for room and board, and that was a lot of work. And
did you work for a well-to-do family there?
Well, no, not too well. But they didn't have any kids, or it was just him and her there. But I had to do all the housework after I got home from school, and work with the Saturdays and Sundays, and clean the house and cook for them, and then go to school. I had to do my studying sometime, and I just couldn't see any sense in that.
Could you have gone to high school in Troy if you wanted to then, at that time?
Well, my folks didn't want me here. They sent me up to Moscow to work for my, I couldn't, because here they'd had to pay, and I had to work for my room and board to get to go, because they didn't have any money to pay for it. And this way I worked myself through the first year.
How far, at where you lived in Nora, was about 5 miles from town here?
Yeah.
That was too far to go every day.
It was pretty far, and there was no buses, no cars, nothing. A lot of snow.
So that must have made it rough for all the kids to.
Yeah, there wasn't any. There wasn't any of the kids up there that went to school. They couldn't go to any higher school than what they got there.
Well, when you were thinking about getting married, then when you did get married, did you have very much to get married? Did you feel you needed to have much in the way of clothes and dishes and all that stuff?
Well, no, we had a big wedding, and we got an awful lot of stuff. And we went to sales and bought the furniture, and we got that chair there was a wedding present. And we got married in 1920, and that's how long ago, 56 years ago, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that chair we got from Hotel Thompson. He had the hotel down here. He gave us that chair. So that still is a wedding present, and we've used it. And we had two boys, and when they were small, I'd put a pillow in there, and I'd put a chunk of wood under the runner there, and that's where they slept. I didn't have any baby buggy or anything for them.
They slept where?
They slept there in that chair.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in good shape yet.
It looks like. So where did you live? In Troy here?
No, we bought a 40-acre farm east, between Derry and Troy. And there's where both our kids are born. And then he got work here at the warehouse, at the Green's warehouse then. And then we moved to town. And then we lived in town the rest of our days. And he worked. He worked at Green's, and then he got to be manager of this Slate County grain growers. So he was manager there, and when he was 65, he quit and got Social Security. And then he'd work. Well, Rouches had a sawmill up here, and he'd pile lumber for him on the top of the hill there. And he'd work with the rock crusher, and just a little bit here and there, you know, and just
so
a little.
Was he stationed in Troy for the grain growers?
Yeah.
He was
right here in Troy at the grain growers, the warehouse there.
Mm-hmm.
And
so what did you do after you were after marriage then?
We moved to town here, and then that house across the street from that hotel, that was a hospital, and we had a doctor there. I got work there, so I cleaned and I washed there, and that was a real hospital. He operated there and everything, that doctor.
Who was that?
Dr. Myers was his name. And then I started into getting on this pea picking in Moscow. And all those women here in Troy almost went up there pick peas, sorting peas.
And you went into Moscow?
Yeah. We worked up there. We worked at Washburn and Wilson, and we worked at Pure Line and at Seb's, and then we picked beans down here at the warehouse. Then it's a belt that comes towards you, and the peas come rolling, and you have to pick out all the mixtures and say that these are seed peas they want. And if there's any round peas in there, we had to get all those round peas out of there. They didn't want any mixtures in it. So we worked there. Oh, I worked there for many years. And till 64.
When did you start working there, about?
Oh, I don't know.
After the Depression?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's after the Depression. And then they cut mica down here. And so we got mica cutting in the down here in between picking peas.
Where, down here?
Down in that school bus garage is where the mica, where we cut mica. Huh? Yeah.
Was it pea picking, was that work?
That was hard work.
Very tedious, having to look at the same things over
The worst is to stay awake. And we had 8 hours a day, and those were coming, you know, and you'd just sit there. And of course, we had a recess in the forenoon and one in the afternoon. But then we'd drink coffee, so we should be able to stay awake. In the winter, we was on the shift from 3 in the afternoon till, 8 hours. 9, or would we be 11? Because we got time off for our supper. And it was 40 below zero. And the car was froze when we was going to go home. And when we got out by the cemetery, Moscow Cemetery, the car stopped. And it found out that they had stolen the gas out of it. So we didn't have any gas. So we tried to make people stop, and nobody wanted to stop because, you know, how cold it was. And there we stood. And so then one boy, it was a boy and a girl, and they were going to Genesee, and he stopped. And he took the lady that drove into Moscow and got them to bring us some gas. And the next day when we come to work, we could see where they had taken the gas out of the car because it was on the ground, you know. That snow, ice had melted on, snow had melted on the ground where the gas had come down on it, and they had stole our gas. And it was cold. Boy, it was cold. It just hit and popped in trees and everything else. But we kept on all winter till spring, and next year we went back again. But then we got on in the morning, so we used to work from morning till got off at 3 o'clock. Seven.
Before, you were working evening shift. When was that from? It started in the evening?
It started at 3 in the afternoon, and then 8 hours when it would be that 11 o'clock, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, so then you didn't get home till...
Oh, now midnight. And then we had to do our work at home, too.
So you worked out quite a bit then when
you
were married.
I worked all the time as long as I was able to work. Until I took my Social Security when I was 62. I didn't get as much as if I'd have waited until 65, but I took it. And after that, I haven't worked much at anything out.
Back before the Depression, though, in the 20s, the work that you did was all at the hospital?
Yeah, we got food from, they had food, so we could get beans and different kinds of canned meats and everything just to go downtown and get it.
During the Depression?
Yeah. And we got food there, and then they put in the sewer here in town. And they got so many hours to work on that, so each person would get in some time. And they paid them for that. And we were renting a house, where is it? Over that way. there, and we paid, the rent was $6 a month, and we couldn't pay it. And it was a bachelor, he's a rich bachelor that we rented from, and he asked, rent $6 a month, and we couldn't pay him, and he says, well, let her go, he says, later. And then he died, and we still owe him for about 3 months of that rent, and he died. And $6 a month, we couldn't pay it.
Did your husband, was your husband, were your husband and you both out of work when the Depression hit?
Yeah, and he couldn't get work, and there was no work, so that's how I got in at the hospital there to work there. Oh, it was hard. It wasn't anything, and the kids wanted this, and the kids wanted that, and they couldn't have it, and
Was it worse, you think, than it was when your parents were raising the family?
I think that depression was worse. I think so.
Did you have to worry about having enough food to eat before they brought in these?
No, we got enough because we'd get plenty from there, and then I'd get a hold of some and can some, you know, and something in the summer so that we'd have some canned vegetables and fruit and stuff. And but we got an awful lot. We got big sacks of beans and peas and stuff to cook, you know. And so we got lots to eat from that relief.
Before that relief started, there was a time there wasn't any relief, wasn't there, in the Depression?
Yeah, it was pretty hard then. But that started in pretty soon after, though it wasn't too long, till we got this relief food. And then I worked until I quit. 62. I'll be 79 next month now. next year, that'll be, I'll be 80 next year.
Oh, that's a... Not that old.
Oh, that sounds awful.
I know lots of people in their 80s and 90s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but there's much future ahead for anybody getting old.
Just your life to live it as it is from day to day.
Yeah. Yeah. Then when he died in 1973... And then I lived up in the house there for 2 years then, and then I thought it was getting too much yard work and too big a house to keep, so I sold it. I sold my house. I got $15,000 for it. And when we bought it, we paid $3,100 for it. And so I sold it for $15,000. Then I, our groceries and that, and then we got some money, we paid on it, and it went on till we could pay it out. And so they had a lot of patience with the people.
The bank did?
The stores. Oh, the bank, we didn't have anything, much to do with the bank. I got a book here, shows what, maybe you have already seen it. I had surgery on my knees, so I didn't have a stick.
Oh yes, I'm sure it was like then in the 1920s when you were here.
It's there. It's a picture of it there.
But I mean, what do you remember the town as being like? Had it changed much from the pioneer days?
Oh
when
yeah,
you were
it
a kid?
Sure has, because they were wooden buildings, and now it's all brick buildings.
I don't mean between then and now, but I mean between then and say like the 20s when you moved in. When you moved here to live, was it very different than it had been when you were a child?
No, it wasn't much different because it was wooden buildings, and the bank was where the post office is now. So it was just that little bank. And the post office was at the other end down there where by the hotel there someplace on this side of the hotel. And it was one big store that they had is the school bus garage. That was one big store, and Williamson had that store. And he had furniture and clothes and groceries and everything you wanted in there. And then he quit that, and that just had grocery stores here. Now we have only one grocery store left.
Did you do much of your shopping there at Williamson's?
Yeah.
During that time?
We bought a lot of stuff there.
Did you find that, like, when you were a kid growing up, that your parents may do without a lot of things that they might have got?
We all had to do without. We couldn't have this or that or anything. I don't think any of the kids in that day and age could. They were all poor, just settling there. It was woods cleared and up to your door. There wasn't hardly any fields or anything there when my dad moved in there, got that place. And was to start in breaking up land, cutting wood, selling wood. Yeah.
But for you, in the time between when you were first married and then the Depression, did you just raise a family then, or did you work out then?
No, I didn't work out then, because he was working then, and the kids were small, so I stayed home. I was home then, and we just had two boys. So then I didn't go to work till I started at the hospital down there, and then I worked all the time after that. Because we started picking peas and cutting mica and everything. Cutting mica, that's hard.
Is it?
That's awful hard. And it's dust. Mica dust. Fine, real fine stuff. Flying.
How do you cut it? What did you cut it with?
We had a sharp knife, and we'd have to cut it so it slanted. And peel it off so that it looked nice and smooth.
Was that what was being mined near Deary? Or
yeah, up in Mica Mine.
Yeah. But when you went to work, did that make a big difference to the family income?
I guess so, because we got the house paid for in a hurry, and so I put my money into the house, and then we had so it helped. Helped a lot.
You said the kids wanted things that they couldn't have in the Depression. I was just wondering what kind of things they wanted.
They wanted a bicycle, and they wanted things to play with, and different things, you know, that some of the other kids had. So they couldn't have it. Yeah, but we lived through the Depression and everything.
Do you think that the community in town here was as close as it was out where you grew up by Nora, the neighborhood?
Oh, I don't know. There it was just like one big family. All the neighbor kids played together and more that way. But I don't know. I've always liked it here. I've always been here, so.
But you think maybe it wasn't, the people weren't as close here.
Now nobody has time to go and visit anybody
else.
But
I mean back in the 20s and the 30s and in those days.
No, I don't think it was like being up there in the country. And then they got cars and started going in cars. And nobody stayed home anymore then. They didn't go together like they did before the cars come. Then we couldn't get no other place but up to Pleasant Hill Schoolhouse. And
everybody went in the same everybody, wagon.
Yeah, we went where we could go to.
Together.
Get to.
Hmm? Together.
Yeah, well, yeah, we went up there and we met there and stayed there.
What about in town here? Did you
take part in any of the groups that were going on in town and the activities they had?
Oh, I did belong to the Royal to the Rebecca's once, and my husband belonged to the Odd Fellows. And that's all that I ever joined or was into. Then they died, both of them died out, so they go to Moscow now, those that wanted to go on. And then we go to church, went to the church, that was all.
Well, I think I've stayed long enough, I should get going. They didn't care for it.
Was that why she quit then and sold out, I wonder?
I think it might have been part of why.
Yeah.
Depression, things have changed really
a
lot.
Yeah.
Did you used to have friends, that, women friends that you spent much time with, that you were pretty close to? Friends.
Well, we didn't have time because we were working all the time, and we were together then and visiting all the time when we was riding and at the, whenever we was eating our lunch and everything. So we didn't have much time for to. When we were home, we had to work at home to get caught up at our own house. So we never went visiting very much. And now nobody has time to visit. Nobody comes and nobody goes. And now I've gotten so I can't go up a hill, so now I'm stuck. Because it's wherever you go up here. You see, they operated on my knee and put in a piece of steel here and a piece of steel there, and took this cap off and scraped it. And,
mm-hmm.
and here's two drains here. And that's a year ago. Yeah, it was a year ago in August. So that's gets pretty stiff.
Yeah, I would bet.
Depression would come now. I don't know what in the world these kids would do. Because they used to get in whatever they want to, and big wages, and work wherever they go. I don't know what they'd do if a depression came now for these kids. All of them have cars and whatever, everything. Boats and cars and even airplanes. I don't know what they'd do if a depression would come now. They couldn't take it.
You think there could be another depression?
It's hard to tell what it's going to be. Never know. It's hard to tell what it'll be.
I was going to ask you one thing about working. Did you enjoy the working that you did, or would you rather not have had to work if you had a choice?
Oh, no, we wanted to work. I wanted to work. Yeah. But I don't want to work now anymore. I couldn't get a job or any work if I did try, because I'm too old.
But that work that you did sounds like it was pretty hard work.
Well, it was all hard work, and sorting peas there, that was awful hard, because you'd sit there and your back would just about break. And we all got backaches from it. It was all hard work. There wasn't any easy work. I got easy work now, though, with this house.
Was the pay any good for that? For the sorting
Micah Cutting,
we
paid by the pound.
The sorting piece.
Oh, yeah. We got $1.50 an hour.
Was that pretty good?
We started out with 35 cents an hour when we started. Then they'd raise the wages off and on until we got $1.50. That was good. But we started in with 35 cents an hour when first we started picking peas.
Was that in the 30s? After the Depression was over?
After, yeah. And 8 hours, 8 times 35, that wasn't very much in a day, was it?
That'd be $2.80.
Mm-hmm. Then they raised it up to 40 cents, and then up to 50, and then it kept going up. And I don't know what they paid. They must pay quite a bit now, because they're still picking peas. But it went up. And then we worked on Saturday. We get time and a half for that.
Did you work 8 hours then on
mm-hmm.
Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Did that mean that you and your husband didn't have much time together?
We didn't have any time together then, because it was just working, and Sunday I had to clean up the house and get ready to go work again on Monday, so we didn't have time for nothing. It was just to work, to try and get ahead. So we bought the house, and then we had to work to pay that. And I made good on that. I made pretty good to pay for that. What, we paid only $3,100. That isn't much for a house in this time and age. It was quite a bit then. We lived in that house for 35 years. And I just sold it then because I just couldn't take care of it anymore. And a big yard. I had flowers all around the yard and trees all over.
I know that can get pretty...